Hello, I would like to talk about some ludic activities for the Pretérito Indefinido in order to practice it. So if you go to slide number 2, this is the previous knowledge I think students must have in order to do those activities. So obviously they need to know the regular and the irregular conjugation of these tense, of the preterite tense, and the main uses of this tense that you have here is action versus description. That means that if I say I went to the doctor, that would be the preterite because it's an action. But if I say the doctor was told, that wouldn't be the preterite because this is a description. So this is the first main use. The second one is the preterite is used for punctual actions. For example, if I say I went once to the United States, or three times, or I went on the summer, I went in 1994, okay, so for one-shot actions. And the last one is for finished actions, obviously, because it's in the past, but with the finished time. That means that if I say something that I have done today, or this week, or this year, I wouldn't use the preterite because the time is not finished yet. So we will use the preterite for yesterday, last week, last year, 2001, etc. Okay. So this is the previous knowledge the students must have. And if you go to slide number 3, you can see what they will practice with those activities. So they will practice, obviously, the irregular verbs of this conjugation, something that is really important because there are many, many irregulars in the preterite. And obviously, start to understand when to use it, because you will see that in Spanish there are 4 pasts. So it's very important that students step by step understand when to use every past. So if you go to slide number 4, we'll start with the first activity. This activity, Historias Entrecruzadas, Intertwined Stories, is an activity where every student must have a piece of paper, and then the teacher will ask the first question. In this case, as you can see, who was him? So the student must write down a name on the paper. Could be, for example, a famous person. So once the student has written the name on it, they have to fold that part and pass it to the next student on the left. So again, the next question would be, who was her? Again, the student writes down the answer on the paper he or she just received, and then fold it again, fold that part again, and pass it. So as you can see, this is the beginning of a story. All the questions are, who was her, who was she, who was him, who was her, where did they meet, what did she say to him, what did he say to her, where did they go, what happened there, and how did the story end. So the students must write down sentences using the preterite, because we are mainly asking about actions. And once the story is finished, every student has to read out loud the paper he has at the moment, at the moment of the end of the story. But the student has to take into account that he can't just read what is written, but that he has to guide a little bit the rest. So, for example, the student shouldn't say, Brad Pitt, Queen of Spain, in the bullring, your hair is amazing, I have new boots. The student has to say, he was Brad Pitt, she was the Queen of Spain, they met in the bullring, he said, your hair is amazing, etc. Why do I do that? Well, so all the students listen and understand the story, and what I do is that after that we vote which one, which story they think is the best one. I do it like this because students usually don't listen to each other when they are speaking. So if they have to vote, they are forced to listen to their classmates. Okay, so this is the first activity. Then if you go to slide number 5, you will find the second activity, Hundir la Flota, the battleship game. I guess you all know this game. This game is played on 4 grids usually, so 2 for each player. On one grid, the student arranges ships and records the shots by the opponent, and in the other grid, the student records his own shots. Okay? But instead of having numbers and letters, what we have here is conjugations. So the student must say, for example, in the preterite tense, obviously, the students must say the tense in the correct form. For example, in this case, nosotros supimos, that would be nothing, there's nothing there. But if the student says yo hice, we have a ship here. So before the play begins, each student has to secretly arrange his ships on the primary grid, as it can be seen in my example. Here's just an example of how would I arrange my ships. So each ship occupies a number of consecutive squares on the grid, and it can be arranged either horizontally, vertically, or diagonally. The ships cannot overlap, so only one ship can occupy any square in the grid. Okay. So if you go to the next slide, you will find the instructions. So what I usually do is I ask the students that they draw 2 ships of 2 squares, 3 ships of 3 squares, and 1 ship of 4 squares. So those are the words they must use. So if the student hasn't got any ship in that square, they have to say agua, water. If there's a ship in the square, it's tocado, hit. And if the student has already hit all the squares of the ship, and this is the last square, the student must say tocado y hundido, that means hit and sunk. So this activity may be done with the verb conjugations next to them, with the I don't know, internet or the book or any other written support. I think it's better to have it next to them, because the students make the effort of looking at it and repeat it, so it helps a lot with the process of memorization of those words, of those tenses. And obviously the game finishes, you all know how the game finishes, after all of one player's ship has been sunk, the game ends and the other player wins. Okay. So this is the second activity I would like to talk about. And if you go to the next slide, you will find the last one. So this last activity is a culture test. Is a competition in groups. So the teacher asks them questions. So they have to decide between them, they have to talk about it, and decide only one answer per group. Obviously, because it's a competition, you can ask them to invent a name for their team, you can give them points for every correct answer, you can also have a prize. There are many ways of doing this. As you can see, all the questions are made in the preterite, so you can also use this activity as a first activity, so they start to identify the tense. But I think that the second part of this activity is the let's say, the most productive, because it's them who have to create 3 or 5 questions, it's up to you, for the other teams. So what I usually do is I give them 3 rules. One, it has to be about it has to be a Spanish speaking country related question, okay? So like that, we practice a little bit of culture as well. They can choose anything, music, cinema, literature, history, but it has to be related to Spain or any other Spanish speaking country. The second rule is that the questions must be in preterite, so they cannot use the present or any other past. I know this is a very simple rule, but it's very difficult because they tend to say, who is the president of, or where is Shakira from? Okay, so those questions are in the present tense, so they are not valid. So they must be in preterite. And the third rule is that they must know, obviously, the correct answer. Okay. So this is the third activity. And if you go to the last slide, I'm just going to talk very briefly about some reflections of these activities. As I said, those activities are quite long, and especially if you do second activity, like, for example, the test of the culture test. But anyway, they are long because in the battleship, they have to ask a lot. As you can see, there are a lot of squares, so they have to ask many, many times. And in the intertwined stories, they have to write down 8 or 10 questions, so it's long as well. So I've calculated that every activity is more or less 30 minutes. And then, as I said here, those activities are step-by-step activities. I classified them under this expression. Why? What I mean is that if you do them in order, you will see that it's getting more difficult. So, for example, the battleship, in the battleship, you only practice the tense, either regular or irregular, but you only practice the form. In the culture test, they create small and controlled sentences and controlled questions. Okay, so they are creating a little bit more. And then at the end, in the intertwined stories, they are creating spontaneous and long sentences using the preterite tense. So if you do it in that order, the students are going step by step, okay, from the easiest to the most difficult one. And well, fun and motivating, healthy competition, those three activities, I think they have this in common. They are fun and motivating, or that's what I've experienced. And obviously, if you do a competition like the battleship or the culture test, it creates a really healthy competition environment in the class that is very good for the motivation. Well, I hope these activities will help you. Thank you very much for listening.